Okay, we're starting here on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, but 7 lines down. The Gemara says, Tanya, I'm Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Ma tshuva hishivato bat kol l'oto rasha b'sha she'amar? What did the bat kol, the heavenly voice, come out and respond to that evil one, the evil one we're here referring to, Nebuchadnezzar, when he made the comment, or the statement, Ele al b'mateav? I will rise above the clouds, Adamel Elyon, and I'll just be like the one above. Comparing himself to God, comparing himself to the ability to reach God. He was extremely successful in his kingdom on earth. He was conquering the known world at the time. And so now he figures he can also go up to the heavens and Adamel Elyon, and be similar, the one above. Yatzta batko v'amralo, Rasha ben Rasha. Ben Benosh on Nimrod HaRasha, says you, evil one, the son of an evil one, the grandson of Nimrod HaRasha. By the way, here's a good indication in the Gemara, when the Gemara makes such a statement that it's not literal. Here it means the grandson of Nimrod HaRasha. He certainly is not the grandson of Nimrod. Nimrod lived in the time of Noah. And here we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar. But, as the Gemara here says, Shemrid et kol olam kolo alav v'malchuto, that he used his kingdom, used his power to cause the world to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like Nimrod, according to the Torah Baal Peh, but someone who led the people astray, led them against God, was one of the leaders with regards to the Migdal Bavel, and possibly involved with the four kings and the five kings. So Nimrod HaRasha, who is now what we call the paradigmatic king of evil, one who takes his power and uses his power to lead people astray. So Nebuchadnezzar is his spiritual grandson. And I think that's what it means. When the Gemara says these types of statements, it doesn't literally mean that they are descendants. It means that this person did something that set a standard, and now Nebuchadnezzar is fulfilling or living up to that standard set by Nimrod HaRasha. So then the Bat Kol says, Kamash notav shel adam. How long does the average person live? 70 shana. Maybe 70 years. If he does really well, he gets to 80. The truth is that Nebuchadnezzar lived longer than that. But Nebuchadnezzar exceeds 70, 80 years because, at least according to the Agadato, he's around in the time of Sennacherib already. He's working in the court of Sennacherib before he rises to power, which would have made him probably into his 90s by the time that he passes away. But it's not really so relevant. They're just talking about a normal person lives 70, 80 years. Whether he lives 90 is not going to make a difference in this calculation. If that's the average lifespan of an individual, halo mina aretz v'adarakia malech chamesh mil shana, from the ground, from the earth, until the heavens is 500 years walk, v'ovyo shel rakia malech chamesh mil shana, and the thickness of the heavens, or the firmament, is a 500 year walk, and then the space between each of the firmaments is 500 years. So that's 7 firmaments, 8 spaces in between them. That's 15 times 500, right? So it's a very long time. And he thinks he's going to head up there to Edamel Elyon, to be or meet God or to challenge God. The Malaman, above them is Chayot HaKodesh, are the holy animals. Raglei HaChayot, the feet of the chayot, keneged kulam, is equal to all of them, 15 times 500. Then karsulei chayot, the ankles of the chayot, keneged kulam, keneged all of them, which again would sound like 15 times 500. There you could argue it is now 50 times 500 times again for the raglei chayot, because that was already 15 times 500. Although it seems to be that they're just saying 15 times 500. Shukei chayot, the legs, the lower legs of the chayot, keneged kulam again. Rechuvei HaChayot, the knees of the Chayot, keneged kulan, again, 15 times 500. Yerchei HaChayot, the thighs of the Chayot, keneged kulan. Gufei HaChayot, the bodies of the Chayot, keneged kulan. Tzavarei HaChayot, the necks of the Chayot, keneged kulan. Roshei HaChayot, the heads of the Chayot, keneged kulan. Kornei HaChayot, the horns of the Chayot, keneged kulan. The Mala Mehen, above the Chayot, is the Kisei HaKavod, the holy throne of God. Raglei Kisei HaKavod Keneged Kulan, just the legs of the Kisei HaKavod are 15 times 500. Kisei HaKavod Keneged Kulan, again, the throne itself is 15 times 500. Melech kel chai v'kayom ram nisa shochein aleim, and then he's above all of this. Batam arta leal b'mateav v'damel elyon. But you think you're going to get up there and damel elyon? The amount of time that you would have to travel far exceeds your lifespan. There's just no way you're getting there. So next pasuk there in Yeshayahu says, ach el shol turad. You think that's what you're going to do, but let me tell you what's really going to happen is ach el shol turad. You will descend down into the depths. Sheol is one of the synonyms for Gehinom, as the Gemara tells us. Yarkat Ebor. And here's another synonym for the Gehinom, to the depths of the pit. They said, instead, you think you're going all the way up, and to be up there with God, and to challenge God, but what's really going to happen to you is you're going to be descending down into the Gehinom. That's a little excerpt here, continuing what we saw in the Gemara before, about the levels that are above, and that there is an extreme, we'll call it a distance, between those that are on earth and that Hashem that is found above. It's interesting here, Tosafot talks about, Yesh Magim B'Kedushata Shisada Kalir. There's some that want to change the Kedushata that was put together by Velezer HaKalir. It says, V'chayot asher heine mirubaot kisei kafregel chamesh miot v'chamesh esrei. Their legs are 515. Umochakim havav. They want to eliminate the vav, vomrim, because according to our Gemara, the legs of the chayot equal 500 times 15. So why does his kedushata have 515? It should be 515s, basically. So they want to take out the vav to make it work. Hainu minyan yishara, because that is the value, the numeric value of yishara, the regal yishara of the chayot, which is mentioned in Yechezkel. The gematria of yishara is 515. And that is a siman of the 15 times 500. But he says, miyu b'chinam machaku. People erased it for no reason. She said dvarav al pi Yerushalmi daroe. He based it on the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi says that the 515 that's mentioned in yishara is not 500 times 15, but literally 515 years. That is the legs of the chayot. And so therefore, the Kedushata of Rabbi Elazar HaKalir is actually based on the Yerushalmi instead of the Bavli. And he says, V'kachaya darko, that was his way when he wrote, Shekama mikomot ha'miniach shitata shas shalanu. Numerous times, he does not use the Bavli and favors kelei le'echol shitata shas Yerushalmi and favors the conclusion of the Yerushalmi. So first of all, Rabbi Elazar HaKalir, clearly he is well-versed that the writings and all the Piyutim that he writes are based on the Gemara, based on the Midrashim, and he's well-versed both in the Bavli and Yerushalmi. And he favors Yerushalmi over the Bavli sometimes. And now Tosafot drops the big bomb. Shuhaya Tana. Rabbi Elazar HaKalir was a Tana. Vehu aya Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. And he really is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Elazar HaKalir is Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Dekari Alei. And now he quotes. Here we have, it's from a psikta, according to the Rosh. Over here it's in the Varika Rabbo. He called a vakat rochel, tanakra, krovetz upayatan. So in Varika Rabbo, it seems to ascribe these ideas of the krovetz and the piyutim coming from Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So the Tosafot associates the two and says, oh, Rabbi Elazar HaKalir must have been Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Kivega brings an alternative girsa. He says, V'yesh omrim shetana haya. Some say that he was a Tana. But here, the way we have our Tosafot suggests that Rabbi Elazar HaKalir was definitely a Tana. It's amazing. First of all, the Tosafot throughout Shas quotes Rabbi Elazar HaKalir and many times will ask questions, trying to reconcile between the Piyutim and the Kruvatzim that we have and the Gemara. And when there's a stira, he's like, why? And then he's willing to work with the Gemara or work against the Gemara sometimes and say, well, if that's what the Piyut says, then how do we reconcile with the Gemara? What's driving Tosafot is partly his understanding, thinking that Rabbi Elazar HaKalir is a Tana. And if he's a Tana, then the Gemara needs to reconcile with the Piyut and not the other way around. We always think of it as the Piyut and the Krovitz has to match what the Gemara says. Over here, Tosafot says it's almost the other way. He's a Tana. And therefore, the Gemara must be following the Krovetz or the Piyut. So, first of all, amazing statement by Tosafot. It tells you how they viewed the Piyutim and the Krovetzim. that they saw them as being works of the Tanaim and serious matters to have inside of the tefillah, not to skip because it was written by a Tano, and that would make it some of the earliest liturgy that we have, and therefore would be very important to say it or to ascribe importance to what it does say and to the meaning of what it does say. The problem with the Tosafot is partly in the keynote to Tisha B'Av. A number of the keynote that we have in Tisha B'Av are written by Rabbi Lazar HaKalir. So in the keynote during the morning in the Kina Yutet, the 19th Kina, at the end of that 19th Kina, authored by Rabbi Lazar HaKalir, it's Lacha Hashem Atztaka V'lanu Boshet HaPanim, that's the name of the Kina. At the end of the Kina, it says, Lacha Hashem Atztaka V'shnei Churbanot, it's to you, Hashem, you are generous, charitable, and the fact that you destroyed the two Batei Mikdash because of our betza, because of our misdeeds, and we're still alive. We are embarrassed by the fact that we should return to you with our whole heart so that you should be able to return to us with your mercy. L'cha Hashem atztaka b'tshami ol shana. For you, Hashem, you're charitable in the 900 years. Shaita sin'a kvusha mihil shama. That your hatred has been suppressed from being heard. V'lanu boshet apanim k'tava ish chamutot. That when the man of delights pleaded with you, atah alukai eznecho shma. Hashem, listen to us and redeem us after 70 years. So we, Daniel had to beg Hashem to redeem us after 70 years, and you held out for 900 years. So there's a question in the Mefarshim, what this 900 years refers to. When he says you have the two Churbanot, and they left for 900 years. What is this 900 years? Is the 900 years from the time of the Churban, which would imply that Rabbi Lazar HaKalir is speaking, probably in the time of the early Rishonim, which is most likely when Rabbi Lazar HaKalir lives, which would be 900 years after the Churban. So he's saying roughly 900 years puts him in the time close to Rashi's time, or maybe a little bit after Rashi's time. Others, Mefashim say, Shama Ochana, references the Churban Abayit, from the time that B'nai Yisrael leave Mitzrayim, until the time of Churban Abayit is 900 years elapse, and they're referring to the Midrash, that Pesel Micha, or Micha, took Avodah Zarah out of Mitzrayim. And so that Avodah Zarah already existed amongst Klal Yisrael from the time they left Mitzrayim, but Hashem expressed his anger from destroying the Mikdash over the Avodah Zarah for 900 years. So if you read it that way, then it does not undermine what we just said in the Tosfot, but you read it as Tshamei Ochana, means that it's a roughly 900 years since the Churban Abayit, that would indicate that Rabbi Lazar HaKalir lives in the time of the Rishonim and not in a, being a Tana, and that would seriously undermine what's said here in the Tosafot. Just an amazing Tosafot that he really ascribes Rabbi Lazar HaKalir's works to that of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon the Tano. And again, it shows you in what regard they held the writings of Rabbi Lazar HaKalir, who is a big part of our liturgy, both in the Slichot, in the keynote, as well as things that we don't say anymore, but the Piyutim and the Kovatzim that are found in the Davening that are authored by Rabbi Lazar HaKalir. All right, Tani Rabbi Chia. Aval Mosrim Lo Roshei Prakim. When it comes to the Merkava, we don't even teach the Merkava to a Yachid, even to a single individual, but you're allowed to tell him Roshei Prakim. Roshei Prakim means you give him highlights. Just the basic highlights, and then he can figure out the rest, or he has to figure out the details for himself. I'm Rabbi Zeira. Ein Mosrim Roshei Prakim, Ela La'av Beitin, Uluchol Mishilibo Do'eg Bikirbo. That, no, we don't even, not even the Roshei Prakim, not even the highlights, or the general statements about it, do we give it to, give to anyone except an Av Beit Din, which already makes him a person of stature and well-learned, and there's someone who is worried. That's what it really means. But, as Rashi says, ve'enu mekel b'rosho. Someone who does, not a person of levity, not a person who takes things lightly or jokes around, it's a person who's very serious. So, Av Beit Din, or a person that is very serious, that's who we give this over to. V'ika d'amrei, and there's some that say, v'hu shalibo do'eg b'kirbo. No, this is a dual qualification. You both have to be the Av Beit Din, and you have to be someone who's very serious. Someone who doesn't joke around, because that's the only type of person that we're willing to give over this type of detail about the Maaseh Merkava. And there, you can only give them Roshei Prakim, not even the details. Amar Rabbi Ami, Ein Mosrim Sitrei Torah We don't give over the secrets of Torah except to people who have these five qualities. Sar Chamishim is actually in Yeshayahu, it's describing that Hashem, I'm going to take away all the best. And who are the best? And it goes through the list. And one of these is Sar Chamishim. And so Sar Chamishim is someone as a head of the 50s. But it means someone who's already appointed to be, whether it's a judge or someone that is an officer. Unisul Panim, someone who is an honorable man. Yoetz, an advisor. V'chacham Charashim, someone who is a cunning or a bright understanding. V'navon Nachash, and someone who is an eloquent orator. For others translated as a teacher of the wise and a comprehender of the mysteries. He needs all of these attributes to be associated with him. It's actually interesting here, the Gemara counts these as five attributes. Gemara in Daf Yudalit is actually going to break down the attributes and call Chacham and Charashim separately, and Avon and Lachash count them separately as different. Over here, he counts them as single. Chacham, Charashim, and Avon, Lachash. The Gemara says you need to have all of these qualities in order to give it over. Ve'amar Rabbi Ami, another statement Rabbi Ami, in Muslim Divrei Torah, Loved Kochavim. You're not allowed to give over Divrei Torah to a non-Jew, Shneamar. Lo Asachein L'chol Goy. Hashem did not do this for any other nation. Umishpatim bayidaom. They will not know my precepts. Well, if you tell them the precepts, then they will know the precepts. You're not allowed to convey that to them. Tosafot already asked from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Goy, shelomed Torah, chayav mita. A goy that learns Torah is chayav mita. And a Jew is restricted from teaching him Torah because he'll be in violation of lifnei ver, lo titen michshol. Because you're going to cause him to be chayav mita, so you're not allowed to teach him Torah. So Tosafot says, what do I need this for over here? What do I need a restriction against teaching Torah? He's already restricted because of lifnei iver lo titen michshol. So Tosafot says that, well, the Gemara there says that there is an exception to this. An exception is the Shiva mitzvah b'nei Noach. So when it comes to Shiva mitzvah b'nei Noach, then there is no violation of lifnei iver lo titen michshol, because there he's allowed to learn it. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility suggests over here is where you have another non-Jew who's willing to teach him the Torah. If another non-Jew is willing to teach him the Torah, it's no longer lifnei iver lo titen michshol, because lifnei iver lo titen michshol is only when you facilitate the situation. That's what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, that the only time it's considered to be problematic is like you have a Nazir. And he's on one side of the river, you're on the other side, and you pass him the wine to the other side. He wouldn't have accessed it without you. But if he's on the same side of the Nahar as you, and he could get the wine without you, then it's not called lifnei iver lo titen michshol. Might be called Messiah, the Obrei Avera, which Tosafot and some of the other Rishonim say is a Din Derabbanan, but Neivir lo titen michshol, you wouldn't be in violation of. Tosafot says here, this is for those cases where there's no Neivir lo titen michshol, there's still a restriction against teaching Torah. Others suggest that it has to do with the Shiva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, which is that in the past, they were allowed to get the Shiva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, but there the Gemara describes that after Matan Torah, where the Goyim rejected the Shiva Mitzvah Ben Noach and they didn't keep them. Over there it says Hashem was matir them. But they said, matir them? What does it mean you're matir them? They're Isurim. But there it says Hashem said, Naseh Geheter Lahem. Hashem no longer expected them to keep them because they didn't, and therefore they're going to be punished for them. But because they no longer keep the Shiva Mitzvah Ben Noach, then you're not allowed to teach them the Torah of the Shiva Mitzvah Ben Noach. And that's what this pasuk was describing over here. At post-Matan Torah, you're not allowed to teach them the Shiva Mitzvot B'nei Noach because they had rejected them by that point. The Tosafot over there also differentiates, the Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to differentiate between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. But he says that the restriction against teaching him Torah is Torah Shebaal Peh, and that it does not necessarily apply to Torah Shebichtav, because we have in other places that Goy Shalamad Torah is considered to be a great individual. So how come over there it says positively, and the other place it says he's Chayav Mita? There we just, the Tosafot differentiated between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. So it might be that Torah Shebichtav is accepted from that rule, and maybe over here this pasuk also says Torah Shebichtav might also be problematic. Idea being that it's not something where we go out of our way to teach them the Torah Shebaal Peh, we go out of our way to teach them the Torah. It's not our obligation, necessarily, to teach them these items. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, the Rabbi Elazar, Ta'a Gamreich v'maseh amar gichva. So Rabbi Yochanan offers to Rabbi Elazar, who's his Talmud. Rabbi Elazar is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, also eventually becomes his Talmud Chaver, eventually becomes a peer of Rabbi Yochanan, and actually argues on his Rebbe. We have machlokot throughout Shas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan now makes him the offer to learn Maaseh Merkava with him. I'm not old enough. says, I'm not old enough, I'm not ready. Either because when I'm young, you have that more frivolous side to you, and he's not ready to settle down, I'm not so serious, so I have to wait till I'm a little older when I'm ready for it. Kikash, nachnam sheder Rabbi Yochanan. When he got old enough, Rabbi Yochanan passed away, because Rabbi Lazar is a Talmud. Although Rabbi Yochanan lives a very long life, nevertheless, by the time Rabbi Lazar was ready to learn it, Rabbi Yochanan wasn't around. Amalei Rabbi Asi, tava gamrecho meseh merkava. So at that point, Rabbi Asi offers it to teach it to him. So Amalei, izakai gemirta mi Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. He says, if I was zocheh, I would have learned it directly from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Asi is a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. And if I had the schut, I would have learned it from him. But the fact is that I wasn't zocheh to learn it from him. There's no reason for me to learn it from his Talmud, Rav Asi. It's a siman, min ha-shamayim, that it wasn't the right thing for me. Rav Yosef have a gomir maseh merkava. Rav Yosef was learning or was well steeped in maseh merkava. Save de pumpedita avatanu be maseh brishit. And the elders of Pumpedita were well versed in the maseh brishit. Seems from Rashi over here, they were brightot. He says, come on, maseh merkava, sefer yitzira, maseh brishit, they're all brightot. That have some information or descriptions of these events that give you more in depth. So you have the Maseh Bereishit, obviously surrounds creation, and Yetzirah, and the Sefer Yetzirah, and the Maseh Merkavah, as we know in the first parak in Yechezkel, the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his entourage. So Amrulay, so they said to him, Ligmar Lan Mar, Maseh Merkavah. Why don't you teach us the Maseh Merkavah? Mnu, and Gamrum Li, Maseh Bereishit. You'll teach me Maseh Bereishit. Let's do a swap. This would be a good thing. So Batar the Agmarun. So after they taught him that, that's what they did. They came to this arrangement. They taught him Maseh Bereishit. After he had learned it, they taught it to him. Amrulei Ligamron Ma'ar Maseh Merkavah. They say back to him, okay, you leave up to your side of the bargain. Teach us the Maseh Merkavah. Amrulei Tanina Behu. He says we already have a bright about this. Devash v'chalav tachat l'shonech. It should be like honey and milk under your tongue. Dvarim ha-metukim mi-dvash v'chalav. Things that are sweeter than honey and milk. Hey, tachat l'shonech. You should hide them under your tongue, which means that you shouldn't speak about them. He basically says that I'm not permitted to speak about Maseh Merkavah. So he got them to teach him the Maseh Bereishit. And then he says to them, I can't teach you Maseh Merkavah because I can't talk about that stuff. I'm not allowed to speak up about these things. Rebbe says it's from this. Pasuk vasim lil vushecha, which really means sheep or wool for your clothing. So then it probably should say here, al tikri kivasim ela kivashim. Don't read it as being sheep, but rather kivashim, which means kavush, which means to hide or suppress. Kivashim lil vushecha means suppress it under your clothing. Dvarim shem kivshono shalolam, things that are the fundamentals or the center of the earth, meaning things that are the Sitrei Torah, Sitro, the hidden meanings or the hidden things of the world, Yutachad Vushecha should be under your garments, mean hidden. Don't reveal them, don't let them go. So Amrulei, they said to him, Taninin Behu, Ad, Vayomer Lai Ben Adam. So he says, listen, they said to him, listen, we already learned up to this Pasuk. This Pasuk is the first Pasuk in the second parak of Yechezkel. He said, we got the whole first parak down already. All we want you to do is teach us after that, the remainder that's found in the second parak. So he says to them, Amrlehen, hein hein maseh merkavah. Then what are you asking me to teach you? You guys know it already. Because the items that the Chazal restrict us against learning are actually the last two psukim in the first parak. Because the first parak describes Hashem's entourage, the chayot, the ofanim, and all the things that surround Hashem. The last two psukim are what are the description of the Chashmal and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the area where you can make a mistake, or that's the area where it's dangerous to get involved. He says, well, if you already learned the whole first parak, that means you including in that, you learned the last two psukim. If you did that, you're through the main part of Maaseh Merkavah. You don't need me anymore because you learned it. You guys know your stuff. Mei Tevei, Ad Heichan Maaseh Merkavah. So now the Gemara asks, until where is Maaseh Merkavah? Now they're not asking where is Maaseh Merkavah. They're actually asking, until where can you teach Maseh Merkavah, and where do you need to stop? Rabbi Omer, Ad, and here, whether it means Be'ereh HaChashmal Batra, I saw the lightning, or the fiery lightning, Batra, the second one, which is at the end of the first parak. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Ad HaChashmal, until the word Chashmal it said, Ad Ve'ereh Migamrinan, until Ve'ereh, which is that second to last pasuk, we teach it, Mikan Ve'lech Masurin Roshei Prakim. After that, we only give highlights. We give a general context. Igadamri Adveri Masrina Roshe Prakim. Some say for all the earlier psukim until the last two psukim in the parak, you teach highlights or you give them general information. Mikam Elechim Huacham Mevin Midato. So if he's a chacham, then Mevin Mito in Ilolo. If he figures it out himself, fine. If he doesn't, not. We don't teach it at all. In those latter two psukim, we don't get involved with it at all. Mer says Umida Shinin Bechashmal. Since when are we Doresh in the Chashmal? Chashmal being those latter two psukim that deal with the Gosh Baruch Hu. Vau Yunoka the Doresh Bechashmal. There was this young child who got involved in learning about the Chashmal, was Doresh, trying to understand it, and he obviously got somewhere. Vanafka Nuro Vachalte. And a fire came out of heaven and consumed him. He overstepped his bounds. Mer says Shani Yunoka Dolomata Zimne. He was a young kid. It wasn't the right time for him. He overstepped his bounds. He was way ahead of his time. He shouldn't have been involved with it. So he got himself in trouble. That doesn't mean that nobody else can learn it. It just means you have to be appropriately suited to learn it. Kids are not the right people to be learning about the chashmal. You have to be of age. You have to be of a serious demeanor. There are all these qualifications, and a child doesn't have that. Am Rabbi Yehuda, Abraham Zachor Oto Ish Letov. We have to remember this person favorably. V'chananya ben Chizki Hashemo. His name is Chananya ben Chizki. You might remember this from the first parak in the Gemara in Shabbat. Because Yimalayu Nignas Sefer Yechezkel. As the Gemara there tells us that they wanted to put Sefer Yechezkel into Gniza. Over here the Gemara doesn't tell you why. The Gemara in Shabbat tells us why. Because later on in Sefer Yechezkel there are korbanot and things that are mentioned that are not found in the Torah. Or things that are soter the Torah. And therefore they wanted to put Yechezkel into Gniza because they felt that it was undermining or against the Torah. Shayu dvarav sutrim divrei Torah. Masa. What did this individual do? Chananya ben Chizkiah. Hello, lo gimel meod garve shemen. They brought up 300 barrels of oil for him up into the veyashav baliyah, up into the attic or the upper chamber. Vidarsho. And he went ahead and tried to figure out and reconcile between those psukim and the Torah. He needed the oil for light so that they left him plenty of oil so that he could have light all the time. He said he was Doresh Yechezkel. And the Gemara in Shabbat goes through those psukim and how he reconciled the psukim that seemingly contradicted the Torah and why he explained. For instance, how come it says that a Kohen cannot eat a Nevelah, implying that Israel can eat a Nevelah. Yet in the Torah it says nobody can eat a Nevelah. But there he says that the Kohanim, who are very involved with the Korbanot and Malika and those items that surround the Korbanot, there's a high likelihood that they'll bump into Nevelot. So it's an extra warning for those Kohanim that they shouldn't eat Nevelah. Not to say that nobody else has that restriction, it's just that the Kohanim need extra restriction because they're very involved in these items. All right, so on and so forth. There are other descriptions over there. So now, Tanu Banan, Maseh B'Tinok Echad Sheya Koreh B'Beit Rabbo B'Sefer Yechezkel. He was learning by his Rebbe, Sefer Yechezkel, V'Yad Mevin B'Chashmal. And he was a precocious young child, and he understood this Chashmal, these latter two psukim in the first parak. And sure enough, a fire came out of that chashmal, that lightning, and consumed him. They wanted to put Yechezkel into Gniza. It's dangerous. You got little kids getting consumed by fire because it's Sefer Yechezkel. We can't keep this thing around. So Amalem Chananya ben Chizkiah. That's one girsa, which would be the same Chananya ben Chizkiah as before. Others suggest that it was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Imzeh Chacham, Akol Chachamim. Just because this young child is precocious, everyone is a precocious young child. So you can't just assume you have one child that's out of bounds. Not every child is going to be that way. Dolim, we don't worry about, because once you reach a certain age, we're okay with you learning it. So it's only a problem for those that are youngsters. And within the youngsters, how many youngsters really understand the chashmal? He was the exception to the rule. He's not the rule. And therefore, we don't have to worry about it. We can keep it around. Now, if it is Chananya ben Chizkiah, then there will be another time that he saved Yechezkel from going into Gniza. It would be apropos that he also saved it again in this instance. Right now, the Gemara says, my chashmal, after telling us it's dangerous to learn it. Right, what is the chashmal? So I'm Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says it is chayot esh mimalot. They are the chayot made of fire that are speaking, or speaking fire. B'matnita tana, itim chashot, itim mimalot. Sometimes the chayot are silent, sometimes they are speaking. When God is speaking, chashot, they are silent. When Hashem is not speaking, hey, they are mimalolot, they are speaking. Now, as Tosfot points out over here, the Rabbeinu Chanano says that these chayot are made out of gichalim omamot. They are made out of burning coals. So therefore, since they're made of burning coals, there are flames, there's fire that it comes out of them, that extends from them. So therefore, when they speak, fire comes forth because they are cold. Then, this also explains the next piece of the Gemara, which is, V'chayot ratzo v'shov, kamarei abazak. The chayot seem to be going back and forth, like that of a lightning, or a flash, or a fiery storm. My ratzo v'shov, what does it mean they go back and forth? Am Yehuda, go'ora yotzei mipia kibshan. It is like the fire that comes out of the opening of a furnace. So just like the opening of a furnace, the flame jumps in and out or shoots out. That's what it means with Tzovashov. They come up and they go back. They come up and they go back. The way Rashi describes it over here is that they pop their heads above the Rakia into the area where the Shekhinah is found. And then when the Shekhinah is there, they get afraid and they pull back. So they're pushing in, pulling back, just like the flame jumps out, comes back, jumps out, comes back. Maika Marea Bazak. What does it mean, like that? Marea Habazak, that of the lightning or the fiery storm? It's like the flame or the fire that comes out between the shards. Now what Rashi says over here, this was used by those that were smelting gold. To smelt gold, you need extremely hot fire, and you have to have a place where you can put the gold. What they used to do was they used to take cheres, drill holes in the cheres, and then turn it upside down over the fire. So first of all, that covered the fire, so the fire didn't consume the gold. But it allowed the flames to jump through the holes and allowed the fire to come through the holes. Then they used to take shards and put the gold in it and then smelt it on top. So those holes, you see the flames popping up through those holes, and that's Kimarea Bozak. That's what it's like. That when you have those shots of light or fire that extend out of the holes of the cheres. Vayere vine ruach se'ara ba'a mina tzafon. Then I saw this tempest wind coming from the north, anan gadol, great cloud, ve'esh mitlakachat, with the fire inside of it, v'noga lo saviv, and it has a glow about it, umitocha ke'ena chashmal, and inside of it is like the lightning, mitocha esh, from the fire. This is the beginning of Perek Aleph, it's Pasuk Dalet, in Yechezkel, describing Yechezkel, the beginning of the Maaseh Merkavah, what he's seeing, the vision that he's seeing. So Gemara wants to say, l'heichan azal. What does it mean that he's coming from the north? Why is the Kodesh Baruch Hu coming from the north? What's he doing in the north? And we know that in Navi, north represents Bavel. Because that's what Yirmiyahu says. It's a phone, tipatachara. From the north will open up the bad. Open up the bad means that Bavel is going to attack from the north. So here it seems to be a reference that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is coming from the north, from Bavel. Some of you that are Rav, Shalach lichbosh et kol olam kulo tachan Nebuchadnezzar Rasha. It's Hashem wanted to grant the world under the dominion of Nebuchadnezzar, meaning Hashem became Nebuchadnezzar's partner. He went to support Nebuchadnezzar so that he should be able to conquer the whole world. Why did God have to intervene on behalf of Nebuchadnezzar? That the world shouldn't say that he gave over his children into some lowly people, some lowly leader. He made it that Nebuchadnezzar conquers the world first. So he's a world power. And then he comes and destroys the Mikdash and subjugates the Jews. So the Jews are subjugated to someone who's a world power. Not somebody who's some red guy. It's not some little guy that came and destroyed it, but rather a tremendous empire. And same thing happens by Bayit Sheni. The Romans, who violently destroyed the Mikdash, are a tremendous empire by the time that they come to destroy the Mikdash. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, mi garam li she'shamash lo'ovdei psilim. Who caused me to be in servitude to someone who worships Avodah Zarah? Meaning, I basically have to do the beckoning of Nebuchadnezzar, support his conquest of the world. The sins of Israel caused me to do this because I had to make sure that they were only given over to someone who was great. So therefore now I have to create this empire for this worshiper of Avodah Zarah so that when I give over my children, they'll be given over to someone who's great. But that means I'm basically supportive of someone or rewarding someone who is worshiping Avodah Zarah. And I saw the chayot, you know, a fan echad, there was one wheel, ba'aretz, that was either solid or reached the ground, etzel achayot, next to the chayot. Amar Rabbi Elazar, malach echad, shomei ba'aretz, there is this one angel who stands on the ground, v'roshoma gya etzel achayot, and his head reaches up to the chayot. That's what this ofan echad ba'aretz is, etzel achayot, this one wheel, is a malach that extends from the ground up to the chayot. In a bright we learn, Sandalfon Nishimo, that his name is this Sandalfon. And he's taller than all of his friends by 500 years. That goes back to what we saw at the beginning of the Gemara today. The distance between Aretz and Shamayim is 500 years. So he has to be a little over 500 years tall, because otherwise he wouldn't reach. V'omeid achorei Merkava, and he's standing behind the Merkava. He's tall. What is his job? V'kosher tarim lekono. And he ties crowns, or makes crowns for his creator. Where it says, Ini, is that really true? V'aktiv, doesn't the pasuk say, Baruch kvod Hashem mimkomo, that Hashem is blessed from his place. What do you mean from his place? Nobody knows where his place is. So how could he be there making crowns for his creator if nobody knows where Hashem is? Hashem's his own place. Nobody else is there. So how's he standing behind God making him crowns? So they say, Amar Shema Tago. He basically puts the Shema Shem on the Tago. Or probably the better way to explain it is that he takes a Shvu'ah, B'Shema Shem, on the crown. And then he sets the crown free and it lands on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's head. In that he doesn't directly put them on, he just sends them in that direction and they land there. This is probably some hint to the idea of what man's role is in terms of being machtir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Over here it says there's a malach who reaches down to the ground and his head extends to the Shemaim, and his job is to put crowns on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, coming up to Rosh Hashanah, that's our job. Our job is to coronate God, to be machtir God as the Melech HaOlam. So that's exactly here. To place the crown on the head of the king is an indication of coronation, an indication of being mamlich, someone. And that's our job on Rosh Hashanah. We're mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's our job, not just on Rosh Hashanah, but that's really our job in general, is to ensure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seen as the Melech HaOlam. And so I think that might be the hint that is suggested over here. All right, now, Amar Rova, Kol Shira Yechezkel Ra'a Yishayah. Anything that Yechezkel saw, Yishayah saw, not as well known, but there is also a Maaseh Merkava inside of Yishayahu, in Yishayahu Perek Vav. There's a description. That's where our Kedusha comes from. Our Kedusha of Karazel, Zevi, Amar, and Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh comes out of Yishayahu Perek Vav, which is the Maaseh Merkava as described by Yishayah. Baruch Vat Hashem Mimkomo comes out of Yechezkel, which is the Maaseh Merkava of Yechezkel. And what's interesting is that Baruch Vat Hashem Mimkomo indicates a more hidden or pulled back Kodesh Baruch Hu, because it's Mim Kamo, where nobody else knows. So it turns out that the Yechezkel, the more famous Maaseh Merkava, seems to be a little more distant or hidden, versus Yishayahu was much more explicit, and the Gemara explains it now. Lamai Yechezkel Dome. Yechezkel, what is he like? The Ben Kfar Shirat HaMelech. It's like a villager that sees the king. A villager that sees the king makes a huge deal out of it. He doesn't see the king ever. It's like once in a lifetime he sees the king. He got all excited. Lamai Yishayahu Dome. And what is Yishayahu like? The Ben Krach Shirat HaMelech. A city dweller that sees the king. He sees the king all the time. Pass by here. Okay, it's special, but it's not so special because it happens on a regular basis. So it's not so special. Therefore, Yishayah just gives you a brief description of the Maaseh Merkavah, whereas Yechezkel gives you a detailed description of the Maaseh Merkavah. Over here, Rashi also notes the difference being that where they're located. Yishayah, when his Nevuah is talking about in Eretz Yisrael, and that's where he has the Maaseh Merkavah, over there, Yishayah is describing the Kodesh Baruch Hu in his place. So therefore, he doesn't have to give a long-winded description because it's plausible and believable. But Yechezkel sees him over Nar Dinur. He sees him in the Tzafon up in Bavel. What's the Kodesh Baruch Hu doing there? It's not believable that he should be there. So therefore, Yechezkel has to go out of his way to prove that he really saw what he saw and that it was real, so he has to mention it. It's interesting because the Maaseh Merkavah opened Sefer Yechezkel in Perek Aleph, but in Yishayahu it only is in Perek Vav. But the truth is that according to many, Perek Vav really is the beginning of Sefer Yishayahu. Now you have to explain why they didn't open that. That this is really the opening part of Yishayahu is really Perek Vav. What we have in Aleph through Hey is an introduction to that, but you have to explain why it's there and the meaning of it, but really Yishayahu begins from Perek Vav, just like Yechezkel and Perek Aleph begins with the Maaseh Merkavah. And that would equate them or make them equal in that manner. Amar Reish Lakish, my dichtiv, what is meant by Ashir LaHashem Ki Go Ga'a? That's either from Az Yashir, or others have the gifts of Shir LaHashem Ki Go Ga, which is from the Shira Miriam. What is it? Shira L'mi Shemit Ga'el Ga'im. Song belongs to the one who is great over the greats. I mean, the one who rules over all of them. Damar Mar. Melech Shebechayot, who's the king of the wild animals? The Ari, the lion. Right? The lion's known as the king of the animals. Then Melech Shebehemot, who's the king over the domesticated animals? The shore, the ox. Melech Shebofot, who's the king of the birds? The Nesher, that's the eagle, the vulture. Vadam, Mitgael Ehem, And man has dominion over them, or rules over them, and lords over them. Because Baruch Hu mitga'e al kulan, and God is above all of them. V'alo kol olam kulon, over the whole world. How does he know that? He knows that because in the Maisa Merkava, the Chayot have faces. They have four faces. And what are the four faces that they have? That's what the Pasuk says. Katuva charomer udmut pneihem. Their vision or their faces are pnei Adam, a human face. Pnei Aryeh, the face of a lion. Eliyamin Arbatan, on the right side for the four of them. Upnei Ashor, meh small. And the face of Ashor, on the left side, Arbatan, for all four of them. Upnei Anesher. So the faces that are on the Chayot, the four faces, are the kings in general. The king of the wild animals, the Ari, the king of the domestic animals, the Shor, the king of the birds, the Nesher, and the king over all of them is man, and those are the Chayot upon which God sits. And so that's exactly what we're describing here. Kigo Ga is that he sits over all those that are the leaders. God sits over all those leaders. He's the leader of the leaders. So Rabban Pasuk says that the four faces are Adam, Aryeh, Shor, and Nesher. And then another Pasuk in Yechezkel, the Maisa Merkava, repeats itself in Perek Yud, a different description there, but there's a Perek Aleph, and then in Perek Yud you have a similar description. In Perek Yud, it says something else. The Pasuk in Perek Yud says, Barba panim le'achad. They have four faces. Pnei achad, pnei akruv. One of them is a cherub. Pnei asheni, pnei adam, which is similar to the pasuk in Perek Aleph. Vashlishi, pnei aryeh, which is similar to the pasuk in Perek Aleph. Ravi, pnei nesher, which is also similar to that in Perek Aleph. V'ilu shor glo kachashim. What's missing? The shor. The shor is not there, and it's replaced by the pnei ha-kruv. Amar Reish Lakish, Yechezkel, Bikeshel Avrachamim. Yechezkel was Mavakesh Rachamim, Vafchol the Kruv, and he changed it to a Kruv. Amar lefanav Ribono Shalom, what was his reasoning that he had to change to a Kruv? Okay, he says, Kategor Yasis Negor. What, the prosecutor should become a defense? Or the other way to say it, the other gear say is, Ein Kategor Yasis Negor. The prosecutor cannot become defense. The Shor is the Maseigel. So he didn't want the Chayot to have a face of a shore, because that would be a reminder of the Maseh Egel, or the prosecutor becoming the defense. Now what's very interesting here, this has many ramifications, I just hint at them here, but the Aveira, or the problem of Maseh Egel, probably stems from what we're just reading here in the Maseh Merkava, which is in the Maseh Merkava, we read about the fact that there is a shore, the face of the shore is one of them. And what Bnei Yisrael make is an egel. Where did they see the egel? Well, they saw Kamaseh Livnatas appear tachat the legs of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is the same description as found in the Maseh Merkava in Yechezkel. And so they saw images. And one of the images they saw was the image of a shore. And that's what they replicate. What's even more interesting is, what does the shore change into? The shore from Perek Aleph turns into Perek Yud into a kruv. And what do we say? That the Mishkan comes to me mechaper al maseh ha'egel. Well, the maseh ha'egel is the shor. And what does the Mishkan contain in it? What's the center over the Aron? Is the kruvim. The kruvim are the central piece of the Mishkan. So the kruvim come to me mechaper on the shor, on the ha'egel. There's a lot to be said about that, but this is clearly a part of that circle in Sefer Shmot of the problem of the ha'egel, the kruvim, and the Mishkan. They're all part of what's spoken about over here in Sefer Yechezkel. Gemara says, wait a minute. Now you have a problem. Because it says there, my kruv, what is this cherub? I'm Rabbi Bo, kravyo. It's like young children, ravyo. Shekem Bavel, korim yinoka ravyo. In Bavel, they call the youngsters ravya. Those that are growing up, those that are shooting up, they are the youngsters. Some of their popular baye, lemiato, if that's true. It says that one face was that of a cherub, one was that of a man. The third one is a lion. And the last one is a pnei nesher, pnei nesher. Well, what are you going to do? I know pnei kruv, I know pnei adam. You're talking two human beings there, face of a cherub and the face of the adam. It says, no, they're different. Ape ravave, rabbe zutre. One of them is a face of an adult, and one of them is a face of a child. So they're not exactly the same. One's a cherub, but one is a full-grown, mature adult. Katuv achad omer, one pasuk says in Yishayahu, sheish knafayim le'echad, they have six wings to each of them. It's talking about the serafim, that they have six wings each. Katuv achad omer, and the pasuk in Yechezkel says, this is about the chayot, not the serafim, it says, V'arba'a panim le'achat, they have four faces, v'arba'a k'nafayim le'achat lahem, and they have four wings to each of them. So as Tosafot points out, that in Shaya, you're talking about Tzrofim, here, in Michezkel Yedem HaChayot, why does the Gemara have a stira at all? There's no stira, they're talking about different things. One's talking about the Tzrofim, one's talking about the Chayot. Truth is, if you read in Michezkel, it makes it sound like the Tzrofim and the Chayot have the same thing. They both have four wings. But Tosafot just says that it mustama. If the Chayot had four, the Tzrofim had four. If they had six, then they had six, that they were the same. It says, Lokasha, Kam is Banja Beit HaMikdash Kayam. That's when the Beit HaMikdash is extant. They have six wings. Kam is Ein Beit HaMikdash Kayam. That's when the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed. They only have four wings. Kibi Achol, Shnim Be'atu, Kanfei HaChayot. It's as if the wings of the Chayot were clipped by the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. So once again, we spoke about this in the past, that the Churban HaBayit was not just a loss for Klal Yisrael, it's not just a loss for Earth, it's a cosmic implication. That's what we say in the keynote. We talk about how the Mazalot were moved and how everything was changed, the whole world changed. And here we see that the cosmic implications of Churban HaBayit, in the sense of the Kanfei HaChayot are clipped by the fact that there is a Churban HaBayit. In a sense, Hashem's wings, I say, kibiyachol, are clipped because the Beit HaMikdash is Hashem's abode on earth, and it's a Kiddush Hashem that there was such a place where the Shekhinah resides, and where Bnei Yisrael will come to. The destruction of the Churban is a Chilul Hashem. It's as if Hashem's, the wings that surround Hashem are clipped. So, Haminayu Yimaut. Which wings were clipped? So, Amar Rav Chanan, Amar Rav, Otan Shomrot Shira. The ones that sing the Shira band. The ones that sing. Ketiv Ocha says, Ubishtaim Yofef. That with two of them he flies. Actually, there in Yeshayahu, when it talks about the six wings, it says two of the wings cover his face, two of the wings cover his legs, and two of the wings they use to fly. So that's where the six wings are for. That's the end of the pasuk. The next pasuk begins, Bikara Zel Zev Yamar. So what the Gemara is saying is, Shtayim Yofef, the two wings that he uses to fly, they're the ones that sing the Shira. That's the next pasuk, Bikara Zel Zev Yamar. So those wings were clipped. The wings that sing Shira, those were the wings that clipped. Kutiv. It says, Hata'if einecha bo ve'enenu. It says, if you set your eyes upon it, it won't be there anymore. Meaning that here, it's talking about Hata'if. They're playing on the word Ta'if, which seems to mean wings. But here it means to set. Now the rest of the pasuk is important. It says, Ki aso yaseh lo knafayim, k'neshu ya'uf shamayim. That it'll grow wings like an eagle and take off to the heavens. So you clearly see that idea of the eagle, the wings, and taking off. So here you see your favorite. It says, "Ataif enechabo." You set your eyes upon it, and then it disappears. Here it's talking about wealth or riches. So you have put your eyes on the wealth and the riches, and you think that you have it all, and suddenly they spring wings, and it flies away. The riches disappear. But the idea of wings being something that causes one to fly, and that has been taken away, meaning that you look at it and it's gone. So that references this idea that the flying wings were taken. They were the ones that were clipped. Rabbanan Amre, Oton Shemechasot Ben Raglehem. No, the ones that cover their legs were taken away, Shinamar. Because Zezin Yecheskel, when he describes the Matzim Rekrabi, Raglehem Regal Yishara. Their leg was a single leg that was straight. Bilav Dimayut Menava Yoda. If the wings weren't gone, then how did he see the legs? They were covered by the wings. Delma Diglai. Vechazile. So maybe they opened up their wings and he saw their legs. It says, Dilo Demaochi, Udmupinayam Pine Adam. How did he see their faces? Hachinami Dimait? Well, what happened also there? What, they lost the wings there as well? Then you don't have any wings left. So Ella Diglai, that they open up their wings. Vechazio, and then he saw the Vechazile. When it says, Hachinami, so too by the feet or the legs, Diglai, Vechazile, they exposed them, that's how he saw them. When it says, Hachiash, you can't compare them. Bishlamape, but a face, Orach Araligluye, Kamei Rabbe. People open up or uncover their face in front of their master, because that's not disrespectful. So that you would expect. But kare laborachar the glule kamei rabbe. Once when you expose your legs in front of your master, so it would be inappropriate for the chayot or the srafim to expose their legs in front of a kadosh baruch hu. So how did Yechezkel see their legs? It must have been that their wings were clipped. The ones that cover their legs were clipped. Ah, you said to me, how do you see their faces? They have wings over their faces. That's normal. They open up the wings in front of their master to show their faces, but to show their legs. That's not normal. So it must have been that they didn't have the wings there that covered their legs. Ketuv echad omer, elef alfin yisham shunei viribo rivavan kadamohi yikumun, says a pasuk in Daniel, also in the vision that Daniel has. Over there it says that there are 1,000 thousands are his servants, Viribo Rivavan, and 10,000 ten thousands Kadmohi Yunkumun stand in front of him. So this is Kadosh Baruch Hu's entourage. Ukhtuva Khadomer and Yov, it says, Ayesh Mispar Dudaf. Is there a way to enumerate his legions? Meaning that they're immeasurable, innumerable. So he says, Lokash, Kam's Manj Beit HaMikdash Kayam, when the Beit HaMikdash is extant and they are innumerable. Kam's Manj Beit HaMikdash Kayam. Here, when the Midrash is destroyed, they would diminish. Could be a hole. That, nit'amata pamayo shamalo, as if the entourage of Kodesh Baruch Hu was diminished by the Korban HaBayit. Same idea here, that the destruction of the Midrash is not just a simple thing for down here. It's all, it has huge implications in terms of Chilul Hashem, diminishment of Hashem's presence in the world, all these cosmic implications. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Mishumah, Yossi ben Dusai. Here they have a different solution to the problem. Elif, Alafim, Yishum Shimei. Mispar Gedud Echad. The description in Daniel is describing one legion. 1,000 thousands, 10,000 ten thousands, that's one Gedud. Or the Gedudav, any Mispar, but there's no number of legions. It's immeasurable, the number of legions. So that's the way they solve the problem. Over there, also Daniel is talking about Nar Dinur. Just like Yechezkel's vision is over Nar Kvar. Over here, that of Daniel is over Nar Dinur. So that's coming out of Nar Dinur. So then, the description here is not about the entourage of Akash Baruch Hu, but the entourage of Nahar Dinur. This river of Dinur. Shneamar, Nahar Dinur, Nagaid. The fiery stream issued forth, Vinafek Min Kadumohi, and emerged from it, Elef Alafim Shim Shumei, thousand thousands of those that service it, Verabur Revan Kadmohi Yukumun. And 10,000 ten thousands before him stand. So the suggestion over here is that this is describing the entourage of Nar Dinur, not the entourage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then there's no steer anymore. Because that's the entourage of Nar Dinur. The entourage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is immeasurable, innumerable. Mecha Nafik, where does this river come from? This Nar Dinur, this fiery stream, where does it come from? Mizeatan shel Chayot, from the sweat of the Chayot. Lechan Shafik, and where does it go, the river? Where does the river pour into? It falls on the heads of the Rishayim in Geinom. Shneamar, the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, Hinei Sarat Hashem Chema. The storm of Hashem, the tempest of Hashem is anger. Yatz'ah, it went out. V'sar mitcholel arosh Rishayim. And this tempest is grievous upon the heads of the Rishayim. So it lands on the head of the Rishayim. So it's describing this storm or this tempest that comes. Fiery tempest that comes on the head of Hashem, that's describing Nar Dinur. Rav Acha bar Yaakov amar al asher kumtu ne'amar. It says, asher kumtu v'lo eit. Nahar yitzak yisodam. Now, it's actually about those that went before their time. Asher kumtu, those that were cut down, v'lo eit, not in their time. Nahar yitzak. A river overflows yisodam, their foundations. So Tanya and Hed Gemara is going to describe what that means. Amar Rabbi Shimon HaChassid, Elu Tshamaot V'Shivim V'Arba Dorot Shekumtu Le'Ibarot. These are the 974 generations that were intended to be created. Because it says, Davar Tzivala Elef Dor. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give his Torah after 1,000 generations. The problem was, he saw that the world couldn't exist without Torah for 1,000 generations. So how many generations are there before Matan Torah? 26. From Adam Rishon to Moshe Rabbeinu, 26 Dorot. So what does it say here? Hashem knocked out 974 generations before their time. They were going to be created and Hashem punished them and they were not created because they couldn't last. Only 26 of them were created. So that's why they get the number 974. And that's what it means. Asher kumtu below 8. They were knocked down because it wasn't their time. Nahar yitzak yisodam. The river overflows their foundation. So the Gemara says, Amara Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says that we have an argument with Shetlan b'chol dor v'dor. And he placed them, he plants them in each generation. And you want to know who those are? Those 974 generations, Hashem sprinkled them amongst the generations. Those are the brazen ones, the brazen-faced ones in every generation. They are those generations that weren't created in their time and now have been dispersed amongst the generations. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, Asher Kumtu L'Brachahu. Asher Kumtu is not a negative statement, it's a positive statement. It's a bracha, dichtiv, elu tamidei chachamim, shim mekamtim atzmam al divrei Torah. Komet means to fold over. So tamidei chachamim, who sit and toil over the Torah,
whose skin becomes folded over or like wrinkled from just sitting there over the Torah. That's who we're talking about. Atzmano divrei Torah b'lama zeh, who caused themselves like that in lama zeh. It's also found if you look in the Gemara in Shabbat and Daf Lamed Gimel, it talks about Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. After he had hidden in the cave for so long, it says that when he came back, his son-in-law was helping him to bathe, and he was taking over the folds of his skin, and there were sores there, and they were crying. He was crying about that. He had to see his father-in-law in this state. But Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, it's good you're seeing me in this state, because that's why I know all the Torah that I know, because I learned. But remember there, the story says that he and his son didn't want their clothes to wear down, so they used to bury themselves up to their necks in sand and learn without their clothes on. But the sand got in there and says, kumtu, the folds of their body. So that's what I'm talking about, the folds here. That idea that when they were stationary and they're learning the Torah, their body folds over, becomes weakened. So those that are folded over in this world, over Torah, Kosh Baruch Magalelem sold the Olam Abba. He tells them their secrets in the world to come, Shneemar, Nahar Yitzak Yisodam. The river will overflow Yisodam. Now here, Yisodam doesn't mean foundation, but the word sod, meaning the secrets, so that the Nahar will pour upon them the secrets. Because Asher Kumtu below 8, they were folded over and they didn't get their time in this world, therefore they'll be granted in the world to come. Amar Leh Shmuel Lechia Barav. Shmuel says to Chia, the son of Rav, Bar Arya, young lion, young cub. Let me tell you over some great thing that your father said. This is Shmuel saying about his Rav, who was a quasi-peer to Shmuel. So Shmuel says to Rav's son, let me tell you one of the great things your father said. Every day, there are angels created out of Nar Dinur, which we just saw before from Daniel. They sing Shira, and then they're eliminated. Chadashim libgarim, Rabba emunatecha. There's a new creation every morning, chadashim in the mornings, rabbi munatecha, munatecha doesn't mean faithful here, but rather, tilatecha. They sing your praises. Upliga de Shmuel bar Nachmani, this argues on Shmuel Nachmani, Damar Shmuel Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, kol dibur v'dibur, yutzei mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nivra mimenu malach echad. Every time Hashem speaks, there's a new malach that's created. They don't come out of Nar Dinor, they come out of the words of Hashem. Shneimar b'dvar Hashem na'ashamayim nasu. With the word of Hashem was the world created, the heavens were created. Uruach piv kol tzvam, and the breath of his mouth, I mean that which he speaks, kol tzvam, all of his multitudes, all of his entourage are created by the wind he speaks. So that's how they create, so that argues. Meaning that one of them says the malachim come out of his speech, out of his words, and one of them says it comes out of Nar Dinur, and that's why they disagree. Tosfot over here mentions something interesting. He says that the malachim that come out of the Nar Dinur sing Shira and they're destroyed. Why are they destroyed? Because they don't know the rules. The rules are that if the Karazel Zevi Amar, you have to wait for all of them to start together. And they jump the gun because they're newbies. And when they jump the gun, they get destroyed. But there is a static group of entourage that sings Shira to Hashem that lasts. And he says, that's what we say in the Brach of Yotzer Me'orot. V'ainu Asher Tiknu V'yisod Anshei Knesset Gadol and Davening B'Yotzer. That they all give permission to each other, and then they begin to sing together. They all stand at the heights up, and then they sing the Shir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How come they sing? They're the ones that are permanent, because they know the secret. The secret is, and they have Sholim Zelazeh. They ask each other for permission, and then they all sing together. And those are the ones that survive, those are the Malachim. What we describe in the Kedusha of the Bracha of Yotzer every day is those malachim that do know what the secret is to sing together and wait for each other and take permission for each other before they sing. The ones that come out of Nar Dinor are destroyed. Those are the Chashadishim, the Brachim, Rabu Munatecha. They come in the morning and they're gone by the evening. But we don't mention those. Those aren't the ones we speak about. We speak about those that know the secret and sing the song properly, and that's why they're not destroyed. That's why they're their permanent entourage of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay? Let's stop over here, 17 lines down on the top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph.